Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in loop. Mind you, we will be getting to D'Amico Ryans about 11:15 here as he speaks to the assembled media. Before we get there, we do need to go around the NFL, like I said. First and foremost, this is looking forward into the season. However, Justin Herbert broke his hand.
Mm-hmm.
At least he broke a bone in his left hand, non-throwing hand. He returned to the game in this game. So I don't think that he'll miss time, and neither does Jim Harbaugh. Got the right one.
Yeah.
But he is having surgery today. Does this at all, do you think that this at all impacts your Week 17 matchup?
Absolutely.
At LA?
Absolutely. First of all, we don't know what they're going to look like by then, how it's going to affect him leading up to that game. How did Aaron Rodgers fare with a hand injury on the non-throwing hand?
Aaron Rodgers is also 40-some years old.
Well, he is, but I mean, it's going to affect anyone. So I absolutely think it will, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might, mm-hmm. if for no other reason than that's a mobile quarterback that might not be as willing to get mm-hmm. into some stuff
yeah.
because he's nursing that hand. And then also, I don't know how his hand will look or what it'll look like after the after the surgery. But in this game, in which the Chargers got a victory yesterday, when he against the Raiders of all teams, when he comes back into the game, he's wearing a glove that looks like he can't move his fingers at all.
Yeah.
So like the way that he's holding the football, it is really heavy on his throwing hand, and like mm-hmm. sometimes he's just kind of pinning it to his hand with
yeah.
that kind of almost club.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder if like there's an opportunity for the grip to be lost, especially with the pressure that this Texas
defensive
line
plays. It's
just
not normal. It doesn't feel like what it normally feels like.
But he would have played with it if he yeah. doesn't miss time for 3 weeks by that time.
Yeah, but I also feel like it's absolutely going to affect him. I didn't even consider the running aspect, but I think you're right. It's just going to make you pause in every way that you play like that.
Yeah, but I mean, he seemed to handle it okay in that game where, yeah, they beat the Raiders 31-14, if anybody actually cares. 15-20, so he didn't get a lot of work throwing the football, 151 yards. Did a lot more handing the football off. So we'll see if that ticks, if that stays there where he does not get a lot of throwing. Does that also change the dynamic? Because if you're not able to throw the football and you allow the Texans just mm-hmm. load the box, good luck, big dog.
Yeah.
Good luck. All right, some other things around the NFL. Can we look at the Cleveland Browns right now? Because they faced off against the San Francisco 49ers. And we have controversy.
Yeah, we do.
And we have a new slant on something that we talked about last week. You know me, I am very big on the moralities of manhood at times. Like, you spit on somebody, that is below, right? Like, hey, Jamar Chase, you deserve that one game
suspension.
Do what
comes natural.
Do what comes natural. I'm right there with you, Mike Tomlin. And then last week, we talked about Javon Moreg
mm-hmm.
punching somebody in the nuts. That's somebody being Jawan Jennings and mm-hmm. thinking, that is unacceptable. You can't do that. Well, maybe there's a little bit more to this. As was this Shelby Harris?
Yep, Shelby Harris.
Of the Cleveland Browns.
Used to play for the Seahawks.
Yes.
He got traded.
Yeah.
I think he got traded with Russell Wilson. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I think he used to play. No, you know what? He played for Denver.
Yeah.
And he was part of the deal in the Russell Wilson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they went to Seattle.
Yes.
What did he have to say?
Well, he had to talk about, there was an instance between Malik Collins, who went down with the injury, and then there were some guys, ex-Jawan, mm-hmm. Jawan Jennings, namely of the Niners, and John with some guys on the Browns defense. This is Shelby Harris giving us a little insight into what was happening.
He's a hoe, and I want that known. Like, I see why he got punched in the nuts, because he said some things that you should not say to another man ever. But like, I don't respect it because you say that, then run behind your O-line. That's some real soft and I want that known. I see exactly why they punched him nuts. I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
By the way, the word of the weekend is ho.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Us Houstonians, very familiar with the word. Yeah. However,
that's everyday vocab. Yeah.
Right. I appreciate the fact that I think he levied it perfectly. Mm-hmm. He levied it with the right gravitas.
Lane Kiffin.
He was mad.
Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, we'll talk about Lane. We'll talk about the drama king himself, Lane Kiffin, soon enough. But yes, I think I had to look up and see where Shelby Harris is from. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which feels like a tracks.
They don't play around.
They do not. Yeah. And does this at all change the way that you view Juwan Jennings? Because, Figgy, you were telling me that there was somebody local in Cleveland that added a little more context to what Juwan might
be doing. It's a news reporter by the name of Cameron Justice. Mm-hmm. And she said, I think she tweeted following her video, pretty much saying, I guess players were saying he was talking about people, wives, and kids.
Oh, God.
All right, so Juwan Jennings, previously viewed as the victim of aggressive and malicious nut punching, now has been accused of, you know, lobbying ill will to people's wives and children.
This turns into a Mark Sanchez case right here, man.
Does this vindicate Trayvon Morrig if that was a similar thing that happened the previous week?
Why'd you say vindicate? Vindicate.
I say yes.
Vindicate might be a little strong.
If you're talking about my kids.
But it's more understandable. I'll say it's more understandable. Vindication, you still shouldn't do that
if you're going to get
suspended.
If you're talking about my kids, man, I could do whatever I want to.
Don't punch him in the nuts.
That's the thing.
Don't punch him in the nuts.
Don't talk about my kids.
Andre Johnson him then.
If you're real about it, don't
punch him in the nuts.
You know what? That's right.
No, Andre Johnson. Yeah.
No, you're going to talk about my kids, I'm going to make sure you don't have any kids. Don't talk about another man's kids.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I no longer feel sympathy for Juwan Jennings.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like because then we talk about.
Don't tell me how to react after you just said something to me.
But then if you do that, then we like, oh, spitting
Figgy's
on folks
hot.
And all that.
Figgy's hot.
Nah, man. Hey, don't talk about nobody's family, man.
We getting into
talk about me. You can talk about my teammate. Don't talk about my kids.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And I don't
there.
Even know if he was talking about his kids to that guy.
Yeah. Well, it was reported.
Yes.
That he does that.
And that is the presumption that we're working on. Obviously, that is the caveat that I'll throw out there. I don't want to do the two wrongs make it right here.
Right.
But I do think that, hey, I have a lot less sympathy for Juwan Jennings because I think Shelby Harris also, shout out to him, just being like ultimate professional here.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Yes, I want that known. I appreciated that. That was fantastic. But I do love that he also highlighted, not only is Juwan Jennings talking crazy, he's not standing on it, right? I can at least maybe find a little bit of respect, smidge.
Hide behind the line.
If you stand, you going to go hide behind Trent Williams? Great guy to hide behind you. Shout out to the 713 for noting that.
He picked the right guy.
Hey, I would do the same thing. That's why he probably talking crazy.
But throwing rocks and hiding your hands, man.
Yeah.
That's real nasty. I don't think you should have gotten hit in the nuts. I think Shelby Harris is right. Somebody should have punched you in your jaw.
Yeah.
Somebody should have hit you with the IK and neck volley, right?
Yeah.
And broke your jaw like Gino got that one time.
I think you're more understanding of what he did. Vindication, you use that word.
Correct.
I can't quite go there.
Agreed. Yeah. Very much agree. So, yes, that was an interesting part of that game. Another
Figgy can.
Hey, you say something about my kids, you can't judge me wherever I swing at.
The beautiful part of that is Figgy ain't got no kids as of right now.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't care. It's the principle of the matter, Smokey.
Just leave my family out of it.
Yes.
He said it's the principle of the matter. Within that game, we got to see more Shedeur Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And his time to throw was egregiously high.
Yes.
And I do wonder, like, that was the thing that I had problems with Shedeur in general. Like, I don't think that he is, like, a quick tempo guy just generally. But Kevin Stefanski said that they will continue to roll with him, which I think
he's
is smart.
Start again, by the
he
way.
Will start again. They will continue to see what they have in him. I think that they're doing the right thing here.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely think they're doing the right thing. And he's actually shown enough. Has he shown enough for you in Cleveland?
He looked better than Dilla Gabriel.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know if he's the franchise quarterback. Yeah. I don't know how he's going to look next season or if they should draft a quarterback and all that. He looked way better than Dilla Gabriel to me, man.
Yeah.
Yes. 16 of 25, 149 and a touchdown. It was fine. Mm-hmm. It was a fine outing for
him. It was a weird game, too, because of the weather. And it was a lot of wind and all that stuff, but look way better than Dilla Gabriel.
He looked better than Dilla Gabriel. I still don't think that he's good enough. And I feel bad that I feel like I need to note that, but just to let y'all know, I'm squarely in the middle here. I'm not the Shador is being, you know, is being held down unrightfully, and I'm not on the other side where, like, clearly Shador ain't got nothing. But, like, all of the big plays that he made were outside a structure. Like, it doesn't feel like he's done anything within the structure. Now, how much do you think that says about Kevin Stefanski, who feels like he will not be in this job next year, undoubtedly? But, yeah, that feels like a thing. And maybe I'll save the around the AFC South portion of this till later, but Football Talk here on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I'll save the big questions that I have around the AFC South for later, but what I will note is that the Jags handled the Titans fairly easily, 25-3, and the Cam Ward thing, man.
It's a mess.
It is a mess. Mm-hmm. They might be damaging what could have been a promising prospect.
I totally agree. I still like him a lot, but he is just in an absolute no-win situation there. And they don't seem – and worse, it doesn't seem to have direction or organization.
Well, they don't have a coach. Yeah. Like, they don't have a coach.
Well, I'm talking about even just offensive, like any plan for him.
Even the last 2 years, they feel like they ain't had no direction, man. They was going out there spending all that money on free agency.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody think they were going to make some noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they should have been rebuilding.
It looks bad. And what looks even worse, that J.C. Latham pick that they had to, you know, to anchor, you know, the right side of that offensive line.
Yeah.
He's looked worse and worse as the season has gone along. Like, I don't know how much of that is getting a new staff in and having an offensive line change. Obviously, we're seeing some of the benefits, weirdly enough, of that over time. But, yeah, it's looked bad offensively and really just all the way around. And the Jaguars now 8-4, and they just—if you look at the remaining of their schedule, it's a cakewalk.
Yeah.
If they don't do silly things, but we'll talk more about what the AFC South looks like and how the division plays out. But right now, we're engaging in the victory reaction Monday of it all here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. And coming up next, we get ready to hear from the head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans. He'll talk to the Assemble Media, and you'll get to hear that right here on Sports Radio 610.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's a victory reaction Monday after your Texans go into Indianapolis. And I will quote one Jake Andrews from the locker room yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Walk into your trap, take over your trap. He said that on Titus Howard's Instagram Live, which, mind you, hey, Titus.
Jake Andrews said that?
Jake Andrews said it, right? In the video, you got Trent Brown. You got Jarrett Patterson appears in it. I feel like Trent Brown has a little reason to be mad at Titus Howard because Titus Howard is panning in the locker room as he's changing. That man had no pants on. Like, thankfully, he had a towel in front of himself. I was like, hey, man, come on. Let's take that video a little bit later. Let me make sure I get my pants on. But, yes, walk in your trap, take over your trap is indeed what the what the Texans did in Indianapolis, getting a win at Lucas Oil Stadium, 20-16, win number one versus the Colts. You have an opportunity to do it again in Week 18, which only God knows where that one stands by the time you get there. Like, the Colts, with the way that their schedule is situated, they very well could not they be could playing be out. For anything at that point.
Yeah, they could be out. And by the way, you'll be hearing about going into Indianapolis and getting that dub from D'Amico Ryans here in just a minute. But it does lead to the discussion of the Jaguars. They got to be feeling really good about their chances right now.
Yeah.
The Jaguars are it.
I think so. Yeah. And I mean, we just talked about the fact that they were playing the Titans this past week, or this past week, yesterday. They didn't run the football well. They threw the football for like just a few yards, 229 yards is what Trevor Lawrence had. It's not like they had a crazy offensive numbers game. But yeah, they're winning games, and you look at the remainder of their schedule, and it is probably as easy as they come.
Colts at home, and then the Jets at home. They go to the Broncos, and then back to the Colts, and then the Titans to end the year. Which Titans at home to end the year, and if they're playing for,
they might not even show up.
If they're playing for a division at that point, that'd be pretty. I'd be feeling pretty good about things.
Are we rooting for like the Colts to find a little bit of themselves just against the Jags and just them beat up against each other?
Yeah.
Win the division here?
Yeah, I think so, because you still have the Colts at home
to
end the year, so you want the Jags to take that L.
All right.
Which just feels weird.
Yeah, but the thing is, very clearly, division is winnable. Division is winnable here.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if it's a given, but I playing with the Athletics playoff simulator. Because that's just now a part of who I am in this stretch. The Texans are above 50% on chances to win, get into the playoffs as of right now. I believe 63% is the number, if memory serves, as of right now, on chances to make the playoffs as we sit.
You got
to
love it. And you got to believe that it's more than fair. I feel really good. Hell, that was the question of the day. You know, like can they do it? Yes, I think they can.
Now, one of the things that will annoy me is if you make the playoffs, but then you allow the margins to be too thin for you to do things. And one of the things that will slim your margins always is situational game management. And as much as there was a lot of good in this game, watching the end of the first half was infuriating, John Lopez.
It was awful. We were texting while it was happening. The clock, letting the clock run, not understanding, you know, the time and concept of what you were doing, it was pretty bad.
We'll talk more about it. In fact, I'm interested to see if D'Amico Ryans is asked about it. So let's go there. Let's go to NRG Stadium and hear D'Amico Ryans talk to the Assembled Media right here.
D'Amico, how do you arrive at the decision to go for it on the fourth down, your next to last offensive drive?
Yeah, during that series, we were driving the ball down, felt really good of how we were driving the ball. Honestly, on the first third down, I felt like we got it. I felt we had really good movement, and I told the guys to do it again. Just being aggressive there, that's my call as the head coach. I'm aggressive, so, hey, it didn't work. That happens sometimes, but it's not going to stop me from being aggressive.
What kind of factors into your aggressiveness? How much do you kind of lean on, like, I guess the advanced numbers and things of that nature, the percentages and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, there's always numbers, analytics, but it's also a feel. When I see our guys move the pile there on third and one like they moved it, I feel like we could have did it again. And so I'm not going back on that decision there.
Consideration to challenge that spot. It kind of looked like Stover had kind of got over in the pass line. Was any
They already confirmed it, and so it was. I couldn't challenge it at that point.
Jalen Reed with the break there. Do you feel like that's season ending, or
Reed, we'll see. You know how he continues to progress with the arm injury. Don't think it's season ending. So we'll see how he progresses.
And Jimmy Ward, do you have an update? Is there
update on Jimmy Ward.
D'Amico, when you go back and look at the film from yesterday, all the different things that went on, what's your biggest takeaway other than just you guys finished from yesterday's game?
Yeah, my biggest takeaway is always I'm excited that we got the win, but I think the biggest takeaway for me is we left so much out there, right? And there's still so many things where we can actually – so many things we could do better. And you know, I know it's tough to say that, but it is some small things, some things I know we can do better, things we've worked, things we can clean up technique wise, fundamental wise. I just feel like we still left a lot of plays out there, and that's my challenge to our guys. It's always, how do you get better? You know, don't just rest on, oh, we won and be happy with winning. It's all about continue to learn in a win or a loss. What do you learn from it, and how you keep pushing the envelope to get even better.
D'Amico, on one side, you all haven't always been able to score touchdowns, but on the other side, you all have moved the ball, kept the ball out of the other team's hands offensively. How do you put that into perspective? Or does that give you optimism? Do you feel like you still need – obviously you feel like you still need more, but how do you put that into perspective?
Offensively, I feel like we've moved the ball, you know, really well. And, of course, we can still get better in the red zone as finishing with touchdowns, but I think we're moving it well. It always starts there. You know, whatever you want to do offensively, you got to move the football. I thought we did a good job on first down, mixing in some of our play-action passes, running the ball. I thought it was a good mix of plays on first down that gave us the advantage there. We were able to get some explosives on first down, passing the football. And so, you know, you keep pressing forward. You keep trying to get as many yards as possible, get in the red zone, and then that's where, you know, you try to strike and score points.
There were a few plays where the Colts, they sent Heat with the 11 drop back for CJ, but you guys, for the majority of the time, were able to pick it up. How have you guys been able to progress so much to this point to where, like, when teams send blitzes at you guys are able to pick it up consistently now?
It's credit to the coaches, starting with Kaylee and the offensive staff. They've done a really good job of really emphasizing and walking through the pressure looks that we'll see. And credit to the players. They executed it the right way. I think Woody has stepped up and did a really nice job, you know, in protection. He's improved the protection, how we're communicating up front. Like, we did a really great job, probably one of our better jobs yesterday of picking up the blitzes that they were bringing and kind of got them out of some of those blitzes. And not just picking it up, I thought CJ did a great job of answering some of those blitzes, getting the ball to Nico on one down the field on a deep end cut. So it's collectively, coaches, players, everybody working well at it. But it starts how we practice, how guys are attentive to the details in their meetings and walking through to fix some of the issues that we had earlier with those blitzes.
You guys had some success with the reverse and also with the pitch out to the Chubb. Do you feel like with the red zone that you guys are becoming more creative, finding solutions there? And like, obviously, early in the season, it was what it was, but where you're at now?
And for us as a coaching staff, we're willing to do whatever it takes to try to improve. We won't continue to do the same things. I feel like they've done a really good job offensively of, you know, adding some non-traditional type plays in the red zone to put us in position to score.
Coach, you talked about being aggressive early. Now you're getting ready to go on to play a team that has a head coach that, you know, every series is four downs for him. Do you, when you're game planning for that, do you go with that mindset to match it as well? Or do you go and match it as far as the aggressiveness is concerned, as far as going for it on fourth down and things like that?
I really, for me, just looking at it fourth downs, I feel like we have an advantage. Do I feel like we have plays that are good enough to win on fourth down? So not just going in just because they're an aggressive team on fourth down, want to put the team in the best possible spot. And going back to our game, I felt like I wanted to continue to drive down and end up scoring so we could have a two-possession lead there and really put the game out of reach at that point because our offense did such a great job of driving the ball down that those positive plays which they showed that allowed me to be aggressive because I felt like we would continue to move the football.
A lot of Taylor's rushes were for 3 yards or less. How were you guys able to achieve that as a defense? And when you're having that success, what kind of stress did you see that put on the Colts' offensive game plan?
Yeah, Taylor did he's a tough back. I thought our guys did a really good job of tackling. That's what allowed us to really stop the run, not allowing those guys to get over 100 yards. It was how we tackled. Everybody tackled really well, from our safeties to linebackers, D-linemen. And if one guy missed, like, guys were still there. We swarmed the football, did a really good job of tackling.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you just talk about week 12, all the things that you guys have gone through to get to this point, and every week your message has been the same, but how you get the team and the staff just to buy into that?
Yeah, for me, you know, if your message is changing every week and you guys may feel like you have to do something different, I feel like the game of football, you don't have to make something up. You don't have to do something different. All the work you put in training camp, all the rules that you taught, all those things, like, it doesn't change. Like, and so I don't make up things for our guys. I don't make it bigger than it is. It's continue to control the controllables, focus on exactly what we can do to put ourselves in position to win games, focus on yourself as an individual, not staying status quo. How are you really pushing yourself to get better? How are you studying a little extra? How are you working a little extra in practice? How are you working a little extra in your recovery process? That's all that I preach to the guys, and I'll continue to preach that because I know that's what truly matters when the game is on the line.
Go ahead. What was the goal at the end of the first half? Were y'all trying to get points? Were y'all trying to kind of balance aggressiveness with maybe not aggressiveness?
Yeah, we're trying to get points there. I mean, we are trying to get points. We didn't execute how we wanted to execute at the end of the half. If we get the first down, we're in a good spot there. Want to finish vertical there. Thought Higgins did a great job of catching the football, but we got to finish vertical, get the first down there, then we're in position to go ahead and try to get points.
Coach, outside of that defensive line, you have a lot of players on that. What goes into the rotation as far as, you know, having them in and having them out? Because I know when you have players like, you know, Daniil and Will, they want to play the whole game. But what goes into, is there a script or is there a feel?
Yeah. Coach Rod does a great job with the substitutions. That's up to him with the substitutions and how he's rolling the guys. You know, we take 9 guys to the game. So the idea behind is we want those guys as fresh as possible when they're in there. We don't want our guys having to play, you know, a full 60 plays. We want them when they're out there, we want them giving everything that they possibly have because we ask a lot of our D-line. We put a lot on them. So to do that, you have to be as fresh as possible. So Coach Rod has done a really great job of rotating and mixing those guys in accordingly.
Feels like Dalton and Woody have kind of been battling, but they've been there throughout, stayed on the field. When we talk about toughness, how much do those two guys kind of create the toughness that you want for this team?
Yeah, you know, for me, I feel like everybody has to be tough to play here for me. It's a toughness, first off, a mental toughness, right, to understand your assignments, what you have to do, but also a physical toughness to push through the nicks and bumps that you have. I expect everybody to push through those because that's what NFL football is about.
With Jalen's recent injury, and then, of course, you've got MJ, Jimmy, do you anticipate having to go outside to find somebody? And how do you handle it when you're kind of suffering at that one particular position?
Yeah, we'll find a way. We'll find a way. Don't feel like we have to go outside to do that, but we'll find a way.
Sting had that big pass breakup at the end, and now he's allowed just three catches over the past 4 games. Just what can you say about the way that he's playing the game right now?
Yeah, Stingley's done a great job all year. He's done a great job of, you know, just handling his business, doing it the right way, working hard in practice, showing up in games when it's his opportunity to make plays, he finds a way to make those plays.
You talk about aggressiveness and going for it, not going for it. You know, there was some chatter about when to go for it in that Eagles-Bears game. Kind of want to get your take on, like, when they went for it on two-point conversion or whatnot, because I think they went a little bit early. What's not necessarily your philosophy, but what's just kind of your viewpoint on if you're down hypothetically by eight, you score, not by eight, but if you're down two possessions, 15, and you go for it, does it make sense to go for it earlier or make sense to go for it at the end, right, to kind of just kind of know where you're at in that position? If you're down 15, you score on, let's say, 5 minutes for the fourth quarter, does it make sense to go for it then or wait till the last time when you get the ball back to, you know, try to see if you can get for it?
And with the two-point conversions, I think every coach, there's 32 head coaches in the league, and everybody has their philosophy of how they want to handle it. That's why they're the head coach. Everybody else has an opinion about how it should be handled. Everybody feels like, hey, it's right if it works. If it doesn't work, then, hey, you're an idiot for not doing it. So it's that's the nature of our job as head coaches, and I wear that burden, and now, you know, it's okay. It's all right. I got your question, though. I got you.
All right, there you go. D'Amico Ryans talking to the Assembled Media, deciding to not weigh in on the – I mean, this is real big on NFL Twitter if you are a part of this.
Yeah.
The notion of, do you go for it if you're down eight with a probably – as a, I think as DJ was trying to set up there, mm-hmm. about 5 minutes ago, the idea being you're down two scores, you score a touchdown. Do you go for your two-point conversion there? Or do you wait? Do you just kick your extra point and hope that you can get the touchdown on the back end? And then
that was
kind of
weird what the Eagles did too, man.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. Look, I, we all have our opinions on this, and that's a question. Like D'Amico did not really answer it. He's just saying, hey, everybody has
not really. He just did it. Period.
Didn't answer. But I actually can give him a pass on that because to me that is always kind
more
of
a
feel for the moment, a feel for your team and how the game is going. I do just me personally. I always lean toward going for the two earlier, so at least you know what you're facing. You know, at least you know what you're facing in the final moments if you have to do it.
My thought process actually, as you might imagine, falls along lines with all the nerds of this. Mm-hmm. I think you go for the two early, but it's also because, hey, I'd rather have two chances at a two-point conversion than one chance at a two-point conversion. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I'd rather
but
be
But you
able
also to- might fall into, I need a touchdown instead of a field goal. If you don't get it on the first try, you know, depending on if it's
well, usually we're talking about two touchdown circumstances.
Whether it's two touchdowns or 11 points, you know. So I always say, I want to find out now.
Yeah.
I want to find out now what I'm facing at the end.
Right, of course, yeah. And that I think that's the common refrain. But I also like the idea of give me two opportunities to go for two. I did appreciate. I found it interesting talking about the circumstance where we see the Texans not unveiling in the specific circumstance, but in this game. The Snover sneak,
mm-hmm.
as I wrote it down, but a little bit of tush push coming in for the Texans with Cade Stover under center, and D'Amico Ryans was asked about going for it on third and fourth down in those circumstances. I agreed with him in the idea that he thought that Stover got the first down on that third down. I thought he did as well, but they marked it short.
I thought they were both bad marks.
You thought that they were both bad spots?
I thought they were both bad spots. But once it spotted, I knew for sure they weren't going to make it. You could see, you know, that it was well short. How do you feel just in general about the Red Rover Stover?
Is that what you're calling it? I love this. I love this as an added thing. Short down circumstances, having something, even if it's not entirely your bread and butter, but mm-hmm. having something that you feel comfortable about was good. And in the first few times they ran it, they got some really good push.
They did.
On the offensive line. And I was like, oh, okay.
And that, from Stover.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. With Stover. And then obviously, shout out to British Brooks and Jakob Johnson behind him, mm-hmm. Giving the noted tush push. And that gives the play its name. I thought that they did a good job executing that as well, especially Ed Ingram in one of those instances.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand that. I did appreciate, though, I found it interesting that he goes, I just wanted to be aggressive. I'm an aggressive guy. And I was like, are you?
Yeah.
In going for it circumstances, is D'Amico aggressive?
That's kind of breaking news, isn't it? That's kind of breaking news right there. But, no, I actually feel, and you brought this up during a break, I think it, you know, putting that out there, it makes a lot of teams think twice about it. And I do appreciate not having the quarterback in any type of tush push, you know, Stover push, whatever you want to call it, moment. I don't want my quarterback in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, no, nah, it's probably better to have the tight end or somebody bigger that can do that. Or hell, even some teams been using the Wildcat just with a running back there.
Yeah.
It's better off doing that than putting CJ Stroud under there trying to push.
Hell, the Colts did that yesterday with the Wildcat, in short yardage situations. So yeah, I don't want to see my quarterback back there. I do like that they've done this.
Lacey, I've got Lacey on the text line, 713. But why go for two twice when you only need to make it once? Well, if you get it the first time, you don't have to go for it twice.
Right.
I think the idea, though, is if you get it on that first one, then you know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get it on that first one, you have a second opportunity.
You still know
to
what
get
you're
it.
Dealing with.
The thing is, if you don't get idea. It that first time, the game is pretty much over because it's a two-score game still.
Yeah, but not necessarily, but I get your point. I mean, if it's –
because once the Eagles didn't make it, I'm like, oh, it's – like the way they were playing, I'm like, oh, it's over now. Mm-hmm. Like, they could pack up a little early.
We were just talking about the tush push, the Stover sneak, as I've written it down in my notes. But that sneak where you had Cade Stover, who apparently played a little quarterback in high school, per John Harris. Someone said, how do you think about it, especially in honor of Thanksgiving? The Stover stuffing?
Stover stuffing. As in Stouffer's?
Yeah, I think that's where it was. Stover. I don't know. I feel like we're getting a little cute there, but I appreciate if you got a better name for it, throw it out there. 713-572-4610. All right, a lot more to talk about. I think that D'Amico gave us some interesting things to reflect on as well. We'll try and circle back around to those. We're doing all of it. We're just talking about a 20-16 victory for your Texans takes you to 7-5 here on a Victory Reaction Monday. Coming up next, though, I think we got some things to talk about in What's Popping, because there's some things popping in college football and Rockets get a victory. I'm going to talk about all that next. All right, let's talk about what's popping. I want to put a bow on the two-point conversion circumstance because I forgot. I was thinking about this in the abstract and not about the very particular situation that happened in the game that was brought up. If they had gone for – or when they went for two and missed that two-point conversion, they were put down 9, which obviously is no longer a one-possession game.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand the circumstance of, like, hey, kick the field goal.
On that particular
and give yourself an opportunity to at least have a one-score game. I still think that there is an argument to be made, although it's a less strong argument in the instance of that one where you're down, 15 already?
Mm-hmm.
Because in that instance, but I think that there's an opportunity with what you talked about, knowing what you have to do.
Yeah.
You could be very intentional with your tempo and give yourself an opportunity to still go a couple of times. But yeah, the timing of that one changes it for sure. But let's get into what's popping in a real way. I want to start with the team that ended up being the redheaded stepchild on the day, if for no other reason than the Texans were playing a divisional game and one that meant probably the biggest game of their season to this point. But the Rockets played yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Played at 2 p.m.
Oh, where? Who they play?
Against the Utah Jazz. Ace Bailey and the Utah Jazz. And they avoided a bona fide losing streak because they had lost the two games that that KD did not play. But they won 129-101, and it wasn't even really that close.
It was not
in the game.
Yeah, you got yourself a point guard, huh?
Is that what your main takeaway is? Hey. Reed Sheppard starts in this game, even with Kevin Durant returning.
Yeah, KD back. If they were going to bench, I'll put it this way: he's earned the right to be the regular point guard. And I think that much. What did he have? 31 or something in the game before that? He had, or was it 2 day games? But anyway, he's played well enough. And I go back to what it does for the benefit you get of a man being off ball and not having as much responsibility with the ball outweighs any detriment you might have from Reed Sheppard defensively.
One of the things that I felt in this game, and admittedly,
would you agree with that?
Let me get my lead up here because I feel like I have to do it this way. At least it works in my mind. Who knows? I feel like with Reed Sheppard, and of course I lost my train of thought as I was going, I think I tend to actually agree to some degree with you because, now you're playing against the Utah Jazz here, not a great basketball team by any stretch, but I wonder how many of those teams that are good in this league are you going to make this decision based off of, or are you just going to go, hey, you're playing the entirety of the league.
Day to day, week to week.
Let Reed have an opportunity to maybe grow in some of these circumstances. Mm-hmm. I still think that teams are intentionally getting after him, and the Utah Jazz had some blow-bys on him. People are going to call him up to the level and require him to play defense.
Do that.
And I think your help defense is a little bit stretched, is a little bit lesser than it was last year, admittedly. But he does add some value, some pull-up shots. He only had 9 points in this game even.
No.
And he still feels like he had a couple blocks. He still has some value. I will say that I'm in a place where I'm more agnostic. I'm less straight negative on the idea of Reed starting. But It was a good game overall for the team with him starting. So this is one of those I might be in a place where let it go until it becomes a problem and then maybe shift.
I'll put it this way. I think you get a man as with all his weaponry if he's not handling the ball as much. And I think you get Reed Sheppard as a weapon if he's on the floor with those guys. Now there's going to be some setbacks or at least some disadvantages here and there, but I think it outweighs the disadvantages having those guys on the floor together.
Yeah, the Rockets did win. What was I wrong? I don't know how I wrote this. I will admit I wrote it very late. But yes, the Rockets won against the Warriors and the Suns. I don't know what I was writing there, so apologies there. But they did win against the Jazz. One of the things that was fun and is notable because KD returned is just the just add water of KD's offense is so helpful behind the obvious of, well, you know, you just run an ISO set and he gets the bucket. There's other just offensive sets that they have where it's not starting through him, where he could just finish it off. Where it's like they didn't create an advantage, but KD has the ball in the middle of the floor and he's just going to go up and over. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
those things show up. And one of the things that was fun also in watching this game is Alperen Şengün. He's not the God tier level of KD in that, you know, concluding of offense, but he's also like he also is fun concluding offense as well.
Well, they both played well yesterday, and that's what you wanted, and you got the best of them in. I feel like that was it was the Jazz, so it wasn't exactly the best opportunity, but getting him back, being able to have those guys at full force was definitely the benefit for me.
Yeah. Sorry, looking at my notes, and literally I wrote, I may have made too much of the downsides to Reed as a starter because the abundance of offense and length that you have on the team.
I think it just outweighs everything.
There you go. Some other things that are popping. This is something that absolutely consumed the entire weekend, which I'm sure Lane Kiffin was not too upset about. Was Lane Kiffin and the will he, won't he, after the Egg Bowl. I was one of many people that was checking their phones constantly to see, has Lane made an announcement? Has Lane made an announcement? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and yesterday we did get full confirmation, although we kind of had trickling out of information. Lane Kiffin will become the next head coach at Louisiana State University.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
I mean, you know, that's the word of the day.
But the drama after we kind of knew where it was going was whether Ole Miss would let him coach out the remainder of the season, especially as Ole Miss is probably set to be in the college football playoff and play for a championship, something that Lane Kiffin helped them build towards. That I think his statement said that he wanted to help see them, you know, reach that completion, even though he made his decision. Ultimately, seems like players, coaches were like, no. And honestly, the weirdest thing in a bundle of weird here for me, John Lopez, Ole Miss has named not an interim head coach, but a permanent head coach and defensive coordinator, Pete Golding. And I was like, this feels like it was specifically about, we don't want Lane Kiffin to take any of the staff members or any of the players with him to LSU.
There are some, but by Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, I already had Lane Kiffin fatigue, the whole will he won't,
correct,
won't he? I was tired of it. Then once it broke and it happened, and then you saw all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes being reported and talked about, even by Lane Kiffin himself in this very weird statement that he put out there. Guardrails. this dude has acted like a complete shameless scumbag.
Total. That's strong.
No, he acted. I'm not saying he is, because heaven forbid he meets me on the sideline and say, come over here and we'll talk about it. Because, by the way, that guy probably got a little vindication, too. That is the one that called him or referenced the hoe or whatever. But here, let's go through everything that he did here. First of all, he said he was going to pray on it. And the prayer was answered with, how about you ditch your team? You know, Jesus, apparently, or God said to him, go ahead and ditch your team. Try to blackmail the university. Poach all the coaches and players that you can, and never look back. Apparently, he prayed on it, and this is the message he received: to be a scumbag. I doubt that the prayer was answered that way. This guy is awful. Never. People always show you their colors. Was that the answer to his prayers? Be a scumbag.
I think this is an initial.
It could have been.
I think this is an unnecessarily harsh take.
No,
I do think
not.
That I think there's ways that Lane Kiffin could have smoothed this out. I think this is something that is inherent with the circumstances that the college football landscape has, where if you're going to take that job, recruiting, like I think there is signing
but
day.
But then he wanted to stay and coach the team.
Signing day happens in about a week, right? But then also, like, we would very much would hit on him the other side where it's like, you got your team to this place where you have this playoff and you're not going to stay and finish this out. So I understand why he wants to stay and coach the team.
No, and absolutely not.
I'm sure there's some ulterior motives to, like, hey, as he's doing all this. I'm not saying, like, all right, so let me stop and press pause. Far be it from me to say that Lane Kiffin is all on the up and up and all this.
He's a good man.
I do think that this a lot of this is circumstance, and I think we'll talk about this because there's a lot of talk about the NCAA just needs to change the calendar. I don't think that there's actual changes that will fix this. I think this is an inherent issue with it, but I acknowledge that with this issue, Lane Kiffin is also privy to it. And so while I'll knock him for not making it clear, hey, this is what's going to happen, or, you know, I will have an answer at this point, letting all of the conversation happen, which, to be fair, he also doesn't control the media, and we had our own part in this where we're like, why is Lane Kiffin not telling us anything? We didn't have to have Marty Smith standing outside the locker room all day long giving us updates about this. This is also us. But, yes, I think that this, its circumstance is a lot of it, and Lane Kiffin being a little bit of a attention whore is a little bit of it as well.
Let's cut through all the circumstance BS, because you're right. But that's a different conversation about...
I think it's part of it.
Hold on. You're right. There is a different conversation about what the NCAA can and can't do. There's a different conversation to be had about LSU getting their guy. You know what? Good for LSU. This has nothing to me, this has nothing to do with LSU getting their guy. To me, those are two separate conversations. The conversation that needs to be had is the whole conversation of what he is and how he handled this. Because he acted like a scumbag. Forget the NCAA. Forget LSU.
Summerall? A scumbag as well. He was announced as the new head coach of Florida.
I understand that.
And he will not be coach of Tulane, who still has an opportunity to go to the playoff themselves.
I understand that. But to if you are on that team and he is coaching that team in the postseason, he's number one recruiting for another school. He's going to poach your coaches. There's the whole distraction thing. I mean, this guy, is he going to be all focused on on Ole Miss winning a championship when he's going to get paid by LSU? And then there's the whole thing about, like, I had these guardrails in place. Bull crap. Once you take that job, you know what's going to happen. And you know what? It happens in our business. You take another job, you're gone. That's it.
And ain't no goodbyes.
Ain't no farewell shows. Ain't no nothing. Because your mind is somewhere else.
Sure.
You know, your mind is completely somewhere else. So, to me, it has nothing to do with NCAA or LSU. Good for y'all. Or, well, bad for the NCAA, but you get my point.
Fair enough.
It has to do with this particular... Dude, they threw his clothes out on the street.
They did.
They threw his clothes out on the street.
They
like
took
a break
his verification badge and everything.
Buddy, people showed up to the airport to boo him. Usually we have people show up to the airport to welcome the boys home or whatever.
Yeah.
He was leaving to Louisiana and they was like, boo this man.
Yeah.
Boo.
Dude, this was like, you know, crazy ex-girlfriend throwing the clothes out the second story window.
Brother, they weren't happy that they won the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
The whole time, all them people were just like, man, we hate this dude.
So what I'm saying about the character and the makeup of Lane Kiffin, to me, that's the story. Whether you think he should coach or not, I disagree because of all the things I just said. This dude acted like a scumbag because scumbags going to do what scumbags do.
I think that there's some validity to your just general take. Lane Kiffin, kind of a scumbag, really all in it for himself, loves the attention, all those things I'll agree with. I think this circumstance has less to do with him, except in very narrow spaces. But regardless, Lane Kiffin off to LSU. Very few people are happy about it. They're happy in Baton Rouge about it.
Yeah,
but
good for them. They got their guy.
Ole Miss, I feel like Ole Miss might have hurt themselves in trying to keep their guys there, but maybe they are able to continue that inertia that they've built with Pete Golding. I don't know. We didn't even talk about your game that happened, but you know what? Mm-hmm. I'll make sure to get that in for you because I know that you really want to talk
about
it. I don't
mind it. I'll have that discussion.
He's lying, Figgy. we'll do that later as we continue here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. But it is a victory reaction Monday, reacting to the Texans getting their seventh win of the season, going 7-2 since a 0-3 start. What a wild circumstance has been. And I think one of the biggest thing that was under spotlight in this game, how does CJ Stroud look? So let's talk about it. How did you feel about CJ Stroud's outing? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.